as believers, you know, it's a good time to focus on where we're going for the Lord too. I don't hear a whole lot of spiritual resolutions. Sometimes I'll hear spiritual resolutions. People will say things like, well, I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. What I'd like to do is start off with what we shouldn't be doing before I speak to anything about goals. I'd like to talk about goals here this morning. Here's what we shouldn't be doing. It shall come to pass, and this is a prophecy through Zechariah. It doesn't specifically speak to this, but we get a concept here. It shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are settled in complacency. This is what we shouldn't be doing. This is a concept. We shouldn't be settled in complacency. You know, it's interesting if we went back and we looked at the King James, the Strong's Concordance, for those of you who are Strong's Concordance fans, definition of the word complacency, it gives a very specific picture. It talks about the chunks of veggies, you know, the chunks with grapes in wine. So if you take wine and you squish grapes and you pour the liquid, you know, from that, you separate the liquid from the grapes, there's always some sediment that still goes into the wine barrels. And over years, when the wine is sitting in its barrel, at the bottom of the barrel, then there's those bits and pieces of grapes or other sediment that hasn't been finely sorted out yet. And it just sits there. It doesn't move at all. It just sits in that barrel. And it just sits. And that's literally what the Strong's Concordance is talking about, complacency. When we just sit. Those men who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. And what he's saying is, people just live life, God won't do, you know, this or that, God, you know, I'm just going to focus over here and do it, or do nothing, right? I don't have to rush. It's going to be all right. Whatever. It's going to be someday. You know what I'm talking about with complacency. Now, put a reference up there of Mark 4, and also we know it's in Luke, other Gospels, where it talks about, I didn't put it here. I thought I had it on there. Well, trust me, would be a lovely thing if you see it. In Mark 4, it talks about the worries of the world choke out. In other words, they bring complacency. They bring a real apathy to our walk with the Lord. The worries of the world, or the good things. You know, if somebody starts to work a lot in their career and they spend more hours there. If somebody has a family that takes all this time and all of a sudden they're just running around all the time and they have no time for the Lord anymore. And you know what I'm talking about, just the challenges of day-to-day life. Sometimes being single has its own challenges, and it squishes out time for the Lord. So we know, okay, this is my point. This is what I want to get at. We know we can't be complacent. So here, as we go into the new year, we know right off the top we can't be complacent. If you are in a complacent state, and I don't think everybody in the room is, but if you are, if there's a couple of you are, then just know to get out of that complacent state. And you know what I mean. This is not new for you. I'm looking at your faces. I recognize you. Get out of that complacent state. So let's move past that. Well, assuming now we're not talking about complacency, how do we press into the Lord in 2026? How do we do it? How do we carry something out for us? David gets us going. You know, there's a big kind of a debate. There are some believers who believe firmly that you can't set goals. Only the Lord can do the plans that we need to be living out. So we shouldn't, they'll say, we shouldn't set goals. There's a lot of books written on that topic. A lot of congregational leaders have taught on that topic. Now, I flatly disagree with it. But we'll start with a goal that I think we can all get our head around. One goal, one thing that we can do in 2026, and we're going to look at it from David's lens first. These three from, it looks like we're going into multiple verses here. This is really a strange thing. O Lord, send out your light and truth, these three from the book of Psalm. Let them lead me, let them bring you to your holy hill and your tabernacle. So here's the theme with all three of these verses. This is David saying, I want more of you, God. Give me more of you, God. Now I'll reread that verse. O Lord, send out your light and truth. Let them lead me. Just more of you. Where your truth is, I want more of that. Where your light is, I want more of that. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. He's not saying, I want more money. I want more influence. I want my kids to get along. You know, I want this. He's saying, just give me more of you. Again, We read on, Psalm 25, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Lead me more, more by more of you. Give me more of your truth. If we set a goal, I want more truth of God. I want more truth of God. I want to know more of what God wants. I want to know more of what God wants. If we make that a driving force goal for us, and what I mean by this is our intimacy, you and him. This is not about anybody else. If we make this about you, me and him, you and him, nobody else, just you and him, how will I get more of his truth? How will I learn more of his ways? How will I see more of his light? We cannot go wrong. How do we preach against that as a good goal? It's not possible. But most people I know, they don't set goals like that for the year. They'll say something, you know, vague at best. They'll say, I'm going to read my Bible more. Well, great. But what is it really about? It's really about, Lord, more of your truth. How do I take that truth, Lord, and apply it in my life? How do I live in that way where the truth is living reverently in my day-to-day actions? So I came with some ideas. I wanted to share. This is a very practical message this year. Or in this New Year's. I don't understand what's happening back there. What's happening? Go ahead, David. Okay, clearly we're having a little bit of a cutoff problem. But I'm going to try to speak to it. You know, I was thinking about this message. Everything that we do and read in the Bible should be so practical. If we only read theoretical things in the Bible, we don't apply them in our life, what good is it? Everything we read in the Bible has to be applied to our life. So practical is good. Whoa. Well, it's smaller. That's good. Can you read it? Freshen your Bible reading. This was one goal that I had last year, and I did pretty good with this goal. I changed my whole Bible reading plan. And I'm going to tell you, maybe you'll get an idea of it. If you don't Bible read, then I would say freshening your goal means to Bible read. But if you do, there are a number of you here. I know you'll read the Bible once a year. You'll break it down, read a few pages at each time. What I thought, and I heard somebody say this, I'm going to try that. I'll reread something 3 to 5 times. That's what I'm doing now. So, for example, 1 Peter 1. I'll read it 3 to 5 times. Again and again and again and again. I'm having a blast. And we can't read a whole book. You know, we're not going to read the book of Proverbs all, you know, 3 to 5 times at one sitting. But I might read 4 chapters 3 to 5 times. And the next day, 4. And you say, well, Jim, that takes a lot of time. It does. But man, am I having a blast. I sit down with a pad of paper. And actually, I have a Bible that is made for taking notes in. One half, the scriptures are on one side of the book, and the other side of the book's a blank sheet of paper. So I just take notes all over the place. And I found that as I reread and reread, that I'm learning new things. So I'll erase. I have to do it in pencil. At first, I started doing it in pen. But now I have to do it in pencil because when I read it 3 times or 5 times, I'm going, wow, I didn't catch that the first time. Wow, I caught it now. Wow, look at this. So I keep erasing and starting over. So try reading the Bible in a fresh way. That's what I'm trying to get at there. You do what works for you. Start a journal, a Bible, a prayer, or a gratitude journal for the Lord. If you start a journal with how you thank God every day, it will change your whole day. And we know that anxiety goes away with gratitude. You want to deal with anxiety. If you have anxiety issues in your life, do more on gratitude. And I don't know anybody, really hardly anybody, that does a gratitude journal. But start a gratitude journal along with your Bible study journal. I know a lot of people have prayer journals. I'm not so many people that have Bible study journals, and nobody that has a gratitude journal. But if you try a gratitude journal, it'll change it. This stuff draws us to the Lord. This stuff shows us how the Lord is doing things in our life and how we get to go before the Lord. This is very personal stuff. And this is the kind of, that's why I'm encouraging you. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but that's why I'm trying to encourage this morning. Find things that really shake your tree with the Lord. Just you and him. You and him. Worship more assertively. When we sing together, do it assertively. Do it like you're making a statement between you and him. Alter your prayer schedule, a process, the Lord's Prayer. Here, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by Lord's Prayer. And there is a typo in this coming up ahead where it says, sing your Sing worship and you're quite, oh, quiet. Somebody fix it for me. It's in quite the first time. Terrible. No, it still says quite. Yeah. Quiet time. Ah, I can't spell anything. Anyway, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a model. The Lord's Prayer in itself isn't how we're supposed to pray all the time. We just don't repeat something all the time. We can. It's not bad to repeat and to memorize, but it's a model for something. So let's say you have something in your life that's very important to you that you're going through. And I'll come up with an easy example, financial challenges. We all understand how that could be financially challenging. Take your financial challenge and apply it in a prayer like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, Lord, I know you're in heaven. You're my Father. You're my provider. I've got a financial problem. Nope, that doesn't really fit there. So you just pray through that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, Lord, you're my Father, my kingdom Father, my spiritual Father, the great Father. You are in heaven. Your name is hallowed. Your will be done. And Lord, how do I live my life and my financial challenges? Still doing your will. And you start to take your need and you apply it in that context. And it really is an interesting way of looking. It starts to change your views on sometimes what your where life problems are. You realize that God is providing, but it's not that big of a deal just by doing that. Sing worship, set quiet time, really quiet time. Set quiet time to wait on God. Takes time, worth it. But do that one biblical thing, just simply to speak to this, is to say, there is some of you who know the Lord, the scriptures are telling you to do something. The scriptures have directives in them. And I believe there's some of you in here who just don't want to do it anyway. You know the Bible says to do something, but you haven't been doing it. You've been ignoring it. This is not a ministry thing. This is an obedience thing that God's wanted you to do according to the scriptures. The most common thing I hear about this is tithe. I know I'm supposed to tithe, but I know I'm supposed to pray, but I know I'm supposed to read the Bible. Those are all Bible things to do. I know I'm supposed to share faith and tell people about the Lord, but if you know there's something that the Bible wants you to do, then do it. Because as you do it, it will change your trajectory with God. You're surrendering to His will. And there's always good fruit that comes from that between you and Him. Those things that David talked about, it comes between you and Him. So the first thing for 2026 is this. Set something, make a plan to find intimacy between you and Him. If you have no intimacy, no quiet time with Him, you're really missing it. You really are. He's a God who wants you and Him. And the whole work in your life, the whole work He's doing in your life is to make you more like Yeshua. That it doesn't get any more intimate than that. So spend time getting to know. The second thing for 2026, and this is the last thing for 2026, and it's pretty straightforward. I want to speak to goals for just a minute. Can I have a goal? Can I really have a goal? God, the scriptures, the Bible has got these verses that says the Lord laughs at man's plans. Does it really make sense for me to have a goal? Or is the Lord just going to do whatever? Here's a few verses. Commit whatever you do to Adonai and your plans will succeed. There's a goal. What do you think? Commit whatever you do. There's a goal. It's inherent in that verse. If you've got something in mind, commit it to the Lord. Lord, do you want me to do this? Open doors, shut doors. I want to do this. Let's go. Plans fail when there is no counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Plans. You know, we've got it. It's okay to have plans. If we do have plans, we should ask people about them. We need to ask the right people about them. Our Havarah group leaders, our Equip group leaders, our elders, some of our ministry leaders, if you have a ministry idea for your ministry that you're in here. Only simpletons believe, this is great, only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. Again, there's a plan aspect. I believe God wants us to be planful. I think He wants us to be planful with our time and our lives. You know, everybody who's got a work schedule or a life schedule or children running around, you understand the necessity of planning. We just went through a holiday stretch that people had to figure out what to do in their calendars. How many of you were exhausted after the holidays? Because you're bobbing around. It's plans, right? I don't know why believers sometimes think, well, now that I'm a believer, I don't make plans with the Lord. He just does it all. What? Doesn't even make sense. So we read some verses that planning is important and how we walk out our plans in life is important. And the same thing applies. We have plans with how we do things in the kingdom, how we do things in the kingdom. There was a man named Timothy Keller, and some of you know about him. He was a pastor at a great big church in New York City. In the 60s, he thought that God wanted him to go start this great big church in New York City, in Manhattan, more in the Upper East Side. Anybody knows New York? And it's not an easy place to plant any religious center. It's just not. Nobody thinks of New York in terms of a religious hotspot in the world for any major religion. So this guy, though, this young man, Tim Keller, he thought, well, I'm going to go there and I'm going to start a church and I'll see how that goes. And he said, I think God wants me to do it. And he was notorious. He's talked a lot about this over the years. Recently, he passed away. But from 1969 until recently, he would say people would come up before he started it and they would say, are you sure that God wants you to do this? And he would say, no, I'm not sure. And they would, if they were really pushing, they would say, well, why are you doing it then? He would say, you know, essentially, these are my words, but well, why not try? You know, here, my dad, my Rabbi Frank would say something like, well, give it a rip. Sometimes we just got to go give it a shot. We just got to go see. You know, there's things in my life, I even had something during worship, it just struck me, like, man, I really failed on something I tried in the name of the Lord. I thought, I'm going to try something in my life. And it didn't go well. It was kind of like a big bust. It was a waste of time, you know. It didn't go well. I don't want to say what it was. Maybe someday it's a little exposing, you know, and like not quite confident to say it yet. But it was something that didn't go really well. And I thought, oh, so today it just struck me as during worship, all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, I forget about that. But isn't it amazing what God taught me from that I'm applying for real and for benefit today? So I was a failure on that back then, but not really. Because who's the great shepherd? I think we think so often that God is always going to tell us what to do, what our plan is. And we forget that he's actually our shepherd. He is the one who directs us in life. You know, we forget that he's a shepherd too. We think that he's looking out to protect us from harm. He is. But he's doing other things on top of that. He's saying, well, I want you to do a little more of this. I want you to do a little more of that. He kind of nudges us around. You know, when there's sheep follow the shepherd, they follow the shepherd home. They follow the shepherd to a new field. They follow the shepherd to bunch up at night. There's a number of things they follow the shepherd to do. It's not just for trouble. And I think over the years, in houses of worship like ours, we overteach that he's our shepherd to watch us in times of trouble. No, he's our shepherd in everything that we do. If we try something that's not right, he'll just shepherd us right back. And then he uses it for his good later on. So if we try something and it fails, so what? So what? Key is we got to try something. There's a lot of people who are waiting for that perfect moment where that the sunbeam hits them from the skies above. It lands on them and a voice says, lo, I will send you to working in a ministry at Beth Messiah. Because you know it doesn't happen like that a whole lot, right? My very first ministry years ago, my very, very first one was a nursery worker. That was horrible. To me, and probably our kids hated it too. I was like a 15-year-old kid. I didn't want to be a nursery worker. I was a 15-year-old kid. I wanted to run around. I wanted to do, you know, whatever 15-year-old boys did. Okay, I'll go work in the nursery. You know, my point is we try stuff. And we try it. There's people, I am sure some of you in this room, you have had something knocking for a while. You're like, you know what, I wonder, I've been feeling like maybe we could. Maybe it's at Beth Messiah. Maybe it's not at Beth Messiah. Maybe you have an idea to work in a civic center. In other words, help people somewhere. Bring the gospel to them. Bring the good news of the Messiah to them. Maybe you want to work in a food bank. Maybe you want to work in the Jewish Jewish community center. Maybe you get this idea for that. And I say, these are just ideas right now in your head. And you're thinking, well, I don't know if God's in it. Well, do you know how you find out? You just try it. You know, if you've had this idea knocking around in your head for a while, maybe it's from him. And if you want to, you ask an elder, float it by me, ask your Havurah group leader and say, I got this idea. What do you think I should try it? And you find out from them. You get their input. Just ask for their input. Is this a good idea or am I off here? And some of you have these ideas knocking around in your head. And I just want to say, you haven't heard not to do it. So maybe just go give it a try. Let's go. This fits with even the series that I've been speaking on. There's a time we're here now. Let's plant. Let's break up that ground. Let's learn to be farmers. If you've got an idea, let's go do it. And in 2026, as you're thinking about what you want to do moving forward, those of you who do have something knocking around, let that be something you say, okay, I'll try it. I'll get some input from some people here at Beth. I mean, again, talk to your elders, talk to your Havurah group leaders, float it by me, and then let's go. It's as easy as that. If you are, if you have no ministry at Beth Messiah and you've been riveted in, it's time to get a ministry. Usually just put your hand up. We need a ministry. The Bible says minister to those other believers. And this is one of the ways that we do it. If you haven't been riveted, we're going to have a rivet date. In fact, we're working on dates right now, literally right now. And next Shabbat, I'll have a date for you to pick from or a date for our next rivet class. And that's how we get started in ministry here. That's a good thing to do, too. I think these people who have no real goals, you know what they hit. If you don't have a target to aim for, what are you going to hit? Nothing. Nothing at all. I think God likes it when we have a goal. We try to find out if it's a good thing to do. We don't know, so we go for it. Sometimes people get so twisted up in their head, they think this divine moment's going to happen and just illuminate the whole path. Sometimes it happens like that, but come on, most times it doesn't. I never ever thought that I'd be connected to Messianic Congregation like Beth Messiah. But I had this stirring, and I believe that God stirred something. It was a dramatic time. I've shared a bit about it before. And it was the right thing. It was right as rain. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I responded to that stirring back then. My dad would say the same thing. You know, you're here in a Messianic congregation. Aren't you glad that you responded to that? What else will God do? What else is he calling you toward? One of the things that I think about a lot, my wife would tell you that's true, is Elijah, the statement in the scriptures that Elijah, who I think is, I mean, truly one of the greatest prophets we've ever had. He's not the greatest, we know that, but I think he's one of the greatest prophets. He set tone for the prophets after him, and Elijah was quite a man, Eliyahu, not Elisha, but Elijah. And he was just this doozy of a guy. And then there's that one part in the scriptures that say, but he was an average man. He's not charismatic, didn't have a high IQ, not good at sports, not good at music, not an extraordinary influencer, you know, the ones who can just, you know, sell you whatever, you know. Didn't have any of those things. He was just an average man, just an average person. And yet I look at his legacy and I think, he didn't even die. That average man didn't even die. He was taken to heaven alive. I'd like to do that, you know. I can be really average. You know, I'm a pretty average guy. You know what I mean by that. And I think, Lord, in 2026, what do you got? I'm going to try something, Lord, in 2026. I'm going to try something new. Try something new in 2026. But before you do that, have a goal between you and him. You and him. Now, again, not a vague goal. Just think, I'm going to do this, come up with one thing, and just do it. Just do it. If it's reading your Bible, do it. If it's singing, do it. Whatever, just do it. But declare, write it down, tell some people around you, so you can have some accountability help. Do it. And the same thing with a goal, something to do in the name of the Lord. Let's go. Let's do it. Are you with me? So 2026, it's our good launch. It's a new year launch. I'm curious to see. You know, we had all kinds of building plans last year, didn't we? And then we had a little problem with the village. They slowed things down with our construction. And That doggone road of ours. Oh, man, if you've only started coming in the last 2 months, you don't even know what we're talking about. Menominee Avenue has been under construction for 2 years. I think it's the devil. But that really changed stuff. We had canceled plans, but we were going to do things outside. And we were going to have a honeybee market again. We're going to have all these types of things here on the property. And we had to cancel them all because there was no driving through. It was one way, and there was no parking then. And they had one part of our parking lot closed off for different times. During the week, they would come and do their nefarious things in our parking lot. Anyway, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to see what's going to happen here in 2026. I don't want to be complacent. Old theologian said, I don't want to be 40 years old and be a stick in the mud. And that's what he was talking about. I don't want to be a stick in the mud. I want to get stuff done. You know, I'll say this in the last little thing. I'm just talking now because I think, you know, again, I know most of you. I'll wrap it up with this. There was a time where somebody was demon possessed and they were going to pray for the demons to, you know, these people were going to pray for the demons to go off them. And the demons spoke. They spoke to the prayers and they said, we know Yeshua, but we know Paul a little, but who are you? I don't ever want a demon to say that about me. I want to be known in the Netherlands. You know what I mean? For my faith. And because I know how to call on the Lord. And that's it. So faith is about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. So 2026, maybe I can reflect some of that with my behavior. Maybe you reflect some of that with behavior. And the demons, they know him through us. And you know, you understand what I'm saying by that. I don't want to go rumbling with demons, but if it happens, I want them to know. So please stand up. Let's pray for us. Lord God, you know, Lord, what this new year has in store, and we seek you for our actions in it. First, Lord, teach us how to get more of you. Teach us how to learn from David, Lord. How do we get more of you? Teach us of your ways. Teach us of your truths. Show us more of your light, of your mercies. We pray for good intimate times between the two, between us and you. That relational stuff, Lord, more of it. Help us with the intimacy there. And help us, Lord, with goals for you. Not, let us not be just talking about goals, not just this rote talking every year of something that we could do for you, Lord, but lead us into what we can do and grow by our doing. Teach us how to be accountable and listen to one another. Teach us how to support one another as we're trying. And even if things don't go well, you'll always work things for good and teach us how to support through that. Thank you for this house. Your ways are good ways and your paths are truth. Thank you, Lord. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliecha v'yunecha. Yisei Adonai panav aliecha v'yaseim lacha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So be blessed in this new year. And there is Oneg down the hall. It's just that way. There's prayers here with lanyards and there's